In the House of the Ruler of the Pharisees, Chapter 55. As there were many Pharisees living in Jerusalem and Galilee, so also there were many living in Perea. One Sabbath day, a ruler of the Pharisees prepared a meal and invited his friends and acquaintances. The Lord Jesus also was invited. He too may sit with them and partake of the delicious food which shall be served. This was a nice gesture of this ruler of the Pharisees, wasn't it? He seems to respect the prophet from Nazareth, even though it appeared so. It was not true. Jesus is not invited for reasons of friendliness and respectfulness. But this Pharisee invites him for a wicked and false purpose. He invites Jesus in order to see how he would act. Secretly, he hopes Jesus will do something wrong so he can accuse him. Also in Perea, the region on the other side Jordan, the Pharisees surround him with envy and hatred in their hearts. Also there they seek to ensnare him. The Lord knows what dwells in the heart of this Pharisee. He knows he has been invited with false intent. Still he goes. Such forbearance. A person who is suffering from the dreadful disease of dropsy also attends this feast. His entire body is swollen from the water. Probably this ailing man was invited purposely by the Pharisee. They want to see whether or not Jesus will have the courage to cure this sick man on the Sabbath. How evil, how false, isn't it? They make use of the Sabbath to eat and drink delicacies. Certainly this may be done. But if the Lord Jesus has the courage to cure this afflicted person, such evil and dreadful thoughts of vengeance as these go through their minds and hearts, and they watch him with a false look in their eyes. However, the Lord is well acquainted with what is going on in their minds. Calmly, he asks the Pharisees and scribes, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" He waits for an answer, but receives none. They are silent. Why? They will not give an answer to this question, because actually they would have to say, yes, it may be done. They will not do so. Therefore, they are silent. Without waiting any longer, Jesus calls the sick man to him and cures him. He delivers this afflicted person from his painful sickness. Suddenly, this man is completely cured and healthy, the same as any other person. No doubt, these pious Pharisees look at him in furor. All envy can be read on their faces. Malice gleams in their eyes. According to them, Jesus desecrated the Sabbath by working. But the Lord Jesus will convince them, and they are cruel and unmerciful. Listen to his words. "If you have an ox or an ass," Jesus asks, "and one of them falls into a well on the Sabbath, do you let that animal drown because it is the Sabbath? No, you will pull the ox or ass out of the well. You will save the animal from death. If you will help an animal on the Sabbath, may I not deliver a person on the Sabbath?" It is as though the Lord Jesus says, "You should be ashamed of yourselves. You are so unmerciful." The angry Pharisees and scribes cannot give Jesus an answer to this question because the Lord Jesus speaks the full truth. Therefore, they do not know what they should say, but the anger still remains in their hearts. Terrible, isn't it? But does not this same anger often dwell in your hearts? When the guests go to the table, each one tries to get the best and most prominent seat. Everyone thinks only of himself. When the Lord Jesus sees this and the angry looks which they give to each other because of a seat, he says, "You are such self-seeking people. You must not always try to have the best seat for yourself. No, when you are invited anywhere, you should take the lowest place at the end of the table. When the host comes in, it could happen he say to you, 'Friend, go up higher,' meaning, 'Ah, no, do not sit there. You deserve a better place. Come with me. Behold, it would be a great honor for you.' What do you, boys and girls, do? Do you always choose the best for yourself? Yes, it is a sign the same selfishness dwells in your hearts. This ruler invited only rich and distinguished people to his feast. Poor people? No, poor people are not permitted. They are too common and inferior. The host would shame himself if poor people came to his richly provided tables. There is no place for the poor at the table of the ruler of the Pharisees. They don't belong there. Can you imagine such a thing? And for what other reason does the Pharisee invite only the richest and most distinguished people of the vicinity? He hoped that when they gave a feast, he too would be invited to come. At least he would receive something in return for all his trouble. But the Lord Jesus pointed out to him that he also should invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Of course, they couldn't give him anything in return, for they could not make a feast in their homes. Still, he would be reimbursed. How? Not by man, but by God. The blessing of the Lord would rest upon him, and this blessing makes a person rich. That does not always mean rich in worldly goods. Oh no, contentment and satisfaction also are riches. I have written this little portion for a purpose, children. But why? Probably some of you can guess the reason. It is because you so often do the same as this Pharisee. Don't you believe it? I will give you an example. It is your birthday. Fine. Many weeks before your birthday, you anxiously look forward to this day. Sometimes you cannot fall asleep at night thinking of it. Your mother promised that you may invite your friends. They may come to play with you, and they also will have a treat. Lemonade and fancy pastry. Delicious. Whom do you invite? Alas, you also so often choose the richest and most prominent children. Why? When it is their birthday, you hope to be invited to their birthday party. But if there is a poor boy or girl in your class, is he asked to come? What do you think? He or she does not belong with us. You draw up your nose at the thought. He wears a patched pants, or she has a faded dress. Sometimes such a boy or girl stands with the group of other children with sparkling, longing eyes. But this child is left out, and he goes away sorrowfully, sometimes with tears in his eyes. And coming home, this child lays his head on his mother's lap and sobs out his grief and sorrow to her. Oh, so often you are cruel and unmerciful, and also so unsympathetic for the distress of another, as long as you have everything you desire for yourself. Isn't this true all too often? Is there anyone who dares deny it? What the Lord Jesus said to the ruler, he also says to us, to be poor is no disgrace. God made the poor as well as the rich. Let a poor child also have a feast. They who are poor never have much of anything. Will you remember this? The Lord Jesus also spoke a parable at this meal in the home of the ruler of the Pharisee. Listen, and I will tell it to you. The Lord begins in this way. A certain man made a great supper. Many people from the vicinity were invited to come on a certain day. The invitations were given out a few days before so everyone could reserve the particular evening for this occasion. In the meantime, everything was prepared in the house of the master. Oxen and sheep were slain, and the meat was roasted and made into delicious dishes. The best wine was bought. Money nor effort was spared. Finally, the day comes for the feast. Look, the servants of the master are working busily to have everything ready. The floor is swept clean. The water pots at the door are filled with clear, fresh water. The tables with the long resting benches are put in place. The lamps are cleaned, filled with oil, and lighted. The most delicious foods are put on the tables. Finally, everything is ready. The host looks about for the last time. Yes, everything is ready. He calls one of his servants and commands him, "Go, get the guests and tell them all things are now ready. Come to the supper." The servant bows and leaves. The host remains and impatiently awaits the arrival of the invited guests. Slowly the time passes, but, how strange, nobody comes. At last the servant returns, alone. Bewildered, the master looks at his servant and asks, "Where are the guests? Why do they not come? You surely told them everything was ready, didn't you?" "Yes, Lord," the servant answers bashfully, "but they will not come." "They will not come?" sounds the astonished question of the host. "Why not?" The servant tells his master what befell him. When he came to the first man, he answered, "Yes, I am sorry, but it is impossible for me to come tonight. I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I want to find out if it is a good, fruitful piece of ground." Children, this was not the truth. The Jews always looked at the ground before they would buy it. Besides, it was night, because we read in the Bible that the master made a supper, an evening meal. The servant also brought the same message to the second guest, but he too refused. He said, "I am sorry. I cannot come tonight because I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must first go and try them." The third would not come either. He said, "I cannot come because otherwise my wife would sit alone all night." And so it went. One had this excuse, and another had something else. When the servant had told his master everything, he stands and waits for further instructions. He thinks it very provoking. Everyone who was invited and would not come, they all were too busy with other things. This was a great insult to the host. Didn't they know the supper was going to be served at this time? Couldn't they have made their plans accordingly? The master listens to his servant with mounting indignation. An angry blush comes over his face, and his eyes sparkle. This is not strange. All the invited guests despise the supper of the rich lord. Go, resounds the trembling, indignant voice of the host. Go, call the poor, the maimed, and the lame. If the invited guests will not come, the poor and the deformed shall eat of my supper. The servant obeys, and soon those who are miserable come in. The large room slowly fills. The servant returns the second time with the message, Master, I have obeyed your command, but all the places are not filled. There is still room. Immediately the host answers, Go outside the city and get the poor and the distressed. Get those who are walking on the highways and who are sleeping under the hedges. Get them, yes, compel them to come here. Those whom I invited would not come. Now they may not come to the supper. The room became completely filled with the poor and the deformed, and with the maimed and the lame. Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus spoke this parable. You may now ask the question, yes, but what does it mean? Why does the Lord tell this parable? I shall try to make it plain. You must listen attentively, because it is difficult. The Lord Jesus preached in the land of the Jews. In every city and village he told them he was the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Israel. He invited the Pharisees and the Jews to come to him with their guilt and sins. And what was their answer? They would not come. They ridiculed the Lord Jesus. They laughed him to scorn. They did not believe the words of the Savior. Then the Lord calls the publicans, the sinners, and the wicked to himself, and by grace they do come. Just think of Levi, the publican of Capernaum. Think of the Samaritan woman and so many others. The gospel shall be made known not only to the Jews, but also to the heathens. They are the poor and the crippled outside the city. They are those who are walking in the highways and lying asleep under the hedges and bushes. They were all outside the city, which means they did not belong to the Jewish nation. And what did the host say to his servant? Compel them to come in. So also the message is brought to you. And this message is, it is still possible for you to be converted. Sundays in the church, in catechism, in Sunday school, yes, daily you are taught about the Savior who suffered and died for his people. It is also possible for you to be saved. The gospel, the glad tidings of the way of salvation, is still proclaimed to you. And what answer do you give to it? Are you also too busy with other things? Alas, yes, with most of you it is so. It is boring in the church, and you dislike catechism. This is terrible. By so doing, you despise the callings of God which come to you. Thereby you insult the Lord Jesus. But is it possible to convert ourselves? No, we cannot, because we lie dead in sins and transgressions. Hence, We cannot do anything about it if we go lost. Do you think it is right to say this? Do you think God is at fault if we go lost? What do you think? Surely not. We do not go lost. We are lost. It is the terrible consequence of sin. It would be righteous if no one ever were saved. But now the Lord Jesus has suffered. He has entered into death for guilty, sinful people, and the way of salvation is proclaimed to us. But we do not want to heed it. We have no desire therein. With dislike we go to church and to catechism, where we hear about the Lord Jesus. The Lord is pleased to use the preaching of His word by His servants to convert sinners. Never willfully neglect the services of the Lord, but ask the Lord to sanctify the preaching to your heart. Who knows? God may answer those prayers, and then you would be inexpressibly happy.